Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're continuing with our study of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. This is God's word. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We said that in order to pray the way that Jesus taught us, we must pray built on a relationship with God as our Father. We said that when that is the case and we pray rightly, our concern above all else will be for God's glory, wanting his name to be hallowed, his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as in heaven. We said yesterday that it must be a life of daily dependence. Give us this day our daily bread. The idea that we know we can do nothing without him, we are utterly dependent on him, and as we said before, that is true even for those who do not acknowledge it. It is true even when we forget it. The fact is, all of us are utterly dependent on him. It is by the power of his word that the universe is held together. And so there's nothing that we can do on our own. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Today we want to look at what Jesus says about forgiveness. "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." I don't like that. The old English that I grew up with, which says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," which is challenging enough, because that reminds me that I need to forgive them. This translation says something even more disquieting, and that is, we're supposed to have already forgiven them. That's what it says. "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." I don't think that's a mistranslation. I think it's just awkward for us. If you come to God asking him to forgive you the way that you have forgiven others and you haven't forgiven others, you probably don't want to say that. So let me just start there. If God today forgave you the way that you have forgiven others, how would you do? Would everything be good? Everything square? No sin is remembered. It's all forgiven. Everything's good. Or would God be tapping his toe on the floor outside the throne and looking at you with a scowl and saying, "I don't know that I can get over what you did. You know, I've given you multiple chances. And time and again you said, 'Oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.' And I did. But You've blown it again. How many of you have blown it again? I mean, isn't it amazing our capacity to say, I'll never do that again, and then do it again? Isn't it amazing how we say and do things we ought not, and we fail to do things we should do? I want you to know, I actually flossed this morning before I came down here. But when my dentist says, how often do you floss? I don't like to have to answer honestly, because it's not often, honestly. Now, I know that good dental hygiene means that I should floss daily. But I have other things to do. And it's not really that it takes so long to floss. It's just one of those things I feel like I ought to be able to give up. So I can talk with you about flossing, but those aren't generally the areas where I fall down in terms of sins of omission. I mean, there are other things I know I should do that I am not as careful about doing as I should be. And so when we talk about categories of sin, we talk about sins of commission and sins of omission, and we also talk about sins of the spirit versus sins of the flesh. Because you may be outwardly conforming to the rules and inwardly a long way from God. Jesus told a story about a man who had two sons. And the younger one came and said, give me my share of the inheritance. His father gave it to him. And he went off to a far country and squandered his inheritance. Back home, the elder brother continued to do his duty. He worked on the father's farm. But when you read the rest of the story as Jesus tells it, his heart was just as far away from the father as the son who was in the far country. He was angry and bitter about his father's kindness to the prodigal when the prodigal returned. That's a sin of the spirit. So, when you and I come to God, all of us need forgiveness.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, when you and I come to God, all of us need forgiveness. That's clear. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Just pause for a moment, please, no testimonies, but just think for a moment, how badly have you messed up? I mean, I hope you've gotten to the point where you don't think, well, I know some people deserve hell, but I think really just, you know, there could be a lesser punishment for someone like me. If you don't know that you deserve hell, let me tell you, one of your sins is self-deceit. If you don't realize that God would be completely just in utterly, eternally destroying you, then you don't understand your own sin. I do not believe that in this life we achieve sinless perfection. I do believe that God's children in this life sin less and less as the years go by. But my own experience and testimony, along with that of numerous others down through the ages, is that we may sin less, but we become more conscious and appalled regarding our own sin. The closer you get to God, the more you realize, oh my word, I have no hope apart from His mercy and grace. Our righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight. The only righteousness that is acceptable is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not my accomplishment, but His righteousness credited to me. So, if you know that, if you understand that, you must forgive others. There's only one part of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus goes back and gives additional emphasis, and it's this part about forgiveness. After He's given us this outline of prayer, this is how you should pray, He goes back in verse 14 and He says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Jesus says this is required. This is essential. Take a look in Matthew 18. Beginning in verse 15, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." That is millions of dollars. Millions. "Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That's a few dollars. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Are we forgiven on the basis of what we have done, or are we forgiven on the basis of what Jesus has done? We're forgiven on the basis of what Jesus has done. But let me tell you something, folks. If it doesn't transform you, you're not forgiven. If you refuse to forgive others, you have not understood what a debtor you are and what amazing grace God has shown you. You cannot possibly, according to Jesus, be basking in the mercy and grace of God while demanding that other people pay up. You can't. Over and over, he drives this point home in the most extreme way. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you. There are no exceptions. It's not like some of you. This is how he will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Well, how can I forgive my brother from the heart? Take a look in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Go back again to verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You and I are commanded by God to forgive others the same way God forgave us. How did he forgive us? He forgave us on the basis of grace. I am persuaded that Satan's chief tool in trying to keep people from forgiving others is confusion about the difference between forgiveness and trust. Because if you think that you've got to trust somebody in order to forgive them, you're going to find it a lot harder to forgive. Because you don't want to be an idiot. And you don't want to get hurt again. And this person has wronged you so many times that you're thinking, I cannot trust that person. Well, you're right. They haven't earned your trust. Forgiveness is always only based on grace. Write that down and write it on your heart. You're to forgive just as in Christ God forgave you. It's based on grace. You didn't earn it. You didn't do something and God said, oh, well, I guess I'll have to forgive you then because you did that. And that kind of outweighs it. No, uh-uh. We're forgiven based on grace. But let me tell you something about trust. Trust is earned. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure that you can prove that biblically because I think, you know, when we forgive someone, we have to, you know, give them a totally clean slate and let them start over. And I mean, the fact of the matter is that you know, whatever they've done, we just have to totally forget it and not remember that. Okay, please look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is God's holy inspired word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. What? I thought if you forgive someone, you completely forget what they did and you trust them and let them into your inner circle once again. No, that's not biblical. What is biblical is to realize that some people are really dangerous and that it's okay to say, watch out for that person. They're bad news. Well, how do you know that? They did me a great deal of harm. Oh, well, you need to forgive them. Oh, I have. I've forgiven them. The Lord will repay them. You need to be on your guard against them. You can forgive without trusting someone. And let me tell you, when you realize that you don't have to trust somebody in order to forgive them, it becomes a whole lot easier to do what Jesus commands us to do, and that is to forgive those who've wronged us. I need to mention one other thing, and that is sometimes the things that we think we need to forgive of other people, it's not because they need our forgiveness, it's because we need to change our attitude. A number of years ago, I had a mentor who came to see me wanting some counsel about how to forgive her mom and dad. She said, I know that the Lord commands me to forgive them, and so I just was wondering if you could help me work through this, because I know this is something that you deal with. And so, can you help me forgive my mom and dad? I said, I'd be happy to help you with that. Let's pray together. And after we prayed, I said, I want you to make a list of the things that your mom and dad have done that you need to forgive. And so she did. She gave me the list, and I started going down the list. And as best I could tell, her parents hadn't done anything wrong. The things that she was wanting to forgive them for were ways in which they had failed to give her what she wanted. Not failed to give her what God says they're supposed to give as parents, just basically, she didn't like the fact her parents had done this. For example, I'll give you an example. Mom and Dad went on a vacation without me. I know I need to forgive them for that. No, you don't need to forgive them for that. You need to get over being so self-absorbed that you think your parents shouldn't be allowed as adults to take a vacation without their adult child. You understand? Your parents didn't sin against you. You've been sinning against your parents and who knows who else by having a totally self-absorbed attitude that says, I ought to be able to go and do and whatever, and anybody who doesn't comply with my wishes is sinning against me. No! That's not the way the universe works. But you see, sometimes we think we need to forgive stuff where really we're the ones who are out of line. And often this happens when we take up another person's offense. We get all upset because this person did something bad to that person. I don't need to forgive them for that. Do they need to get forgiveness for that? Yeah, but not from me. They need to get forgiveness from God and maybe that other person. Not from me. Well, isn't it okay to care about injustice? Well, of course we should care about injustice. But I'll tell you this. There is so much injustice and evil in the world, you cannot spend your life rescuing all the people who are being oppressed. What you can do is cry out to God and say, Lord, show me what you would have me do in the place where you've placed me. Are we supposed to care for our neighbors? Yes, we certainly are, even when it comes to the matter of injustice. But please remember that the Good Samaritan didn't start a 501c3 to care for people who got ambushed while traveling. He took care of the one who was on his path. Jesus says, when we pray, we need to ask the Lord to forgive us the way that we have forgiven others. So we better get around to forgiving others right now.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.